B-Pod Studios.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Win at Bruins style. Bruins style. It's playoff time, and now St. Louis plays the Bruins. And just like with Toronto, we will leave this team in ruins. We'll bring the Stanley back to Boston, cause we are the Bruins. Winning games is what we're doing. We've got Tuukka Rask. This guy knows how to stop the puck, and he moves very fast. Don't mess with Marchand, cause that guy knows how to kick your ass. Don't mess with Chara, Patrice Bergeron, don't poke the bear. Do not poke the bear. Beat St. Louis! Let's beat St. Louis! For the cup!
Hey!
We want the cup!
Hey!
Beat St. Louis! Let's beat St. Louis! For the cup!
Hey!
We want the cup!
Hey!
And this is how we're gonna get the Stanley Cup! Win it Bruin style. Everybody now.
Hey!
David Krejci!
Win!
Win it Bruin style.
Hey!
David Krejci! Win!
Win
it Bruin style.
Yeah!
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and that was the scene earlier today as the bunch of Bruins fans were in studio when Mike Behind the Mike Callahan went live. He also did Octuplets Live.
Yes, he did.
It was a special storyteller's edition of Mike Behind the Mike Callahan.
All I know is that I just saw a tweet that John Wallach tweeted out saying, son of a bitch, Billy Jaffe is actually taller than me.
It's very disappointing. I thought he was lying this whole time.
Did you not know me now for these? I don't lie. I don't fib.
How would John know if you didn't lie or not? How much social
I haven't had beers with you yet. I don't know.
That's
you
a good
hang
point.
Out with these guys.
That's a good point. You learn a lot of guys, people with beers and
yeah,
golf.
Exactly.
Golf. If you cheat at golf, don't hang with me.
No.
If you want to take a different lie, just take it.
Anytime you want to play, just say the
it.
Word.
Absolutely.
Yeah. After you get recovered from the
I'm telling you, 6'1", I've shrunk. But I'm telling you.
I'm a good 3 inches taller than you.
Okay, so you're 6'3".
I'm not.
I'm 5'11". He's taller than me.
Okay, you're not 5'11".
I am 5'11". I'm 6 foot tall on the nose. I'm 6 foot tall on the nose.
Okay,
actually, six and like a half foot.
I feel like I'm in grade school right now. We'll stand next to each other.
I bet I can back you up.
I had you potted down. I had Rich potted down. I was going to display my height in Peacock, but he started freaking out on me. All right. Okay, so Berube yesterday.
Hey, good stuff, by the way. Drove in at the end of this.
Oh, thank you.
Great crew.
Bruins fans are just a different breed. We've been saying that, I mean, for years now. They're just...
Great stuff. Awesome. Like, it was fun listening, coming in on the radio, hearing that. Hearing some good stuff from you guys, too. Very proud. Very proud. Talking about first goals and this and that and which team. It was awesome. And then hearing the crowd sounded great, too, on the radio. And it looked good. It did. You pulled in and I don't know how many hundreds, but it was great.
It's called radio magic there, Billy Jaffe.
Every once in a while.
Sprinkle it out there.
Every once in a while you get...
All right, so what did you want about Berube? Let's get back. Sorry.
So Berube, it seemed like... I don't know the advantage of saying this, but he said that the team was holding back.
Yeah, he's sending a message.
Okay, but
that's a bad message.
Hang on a second. First of all, does that affect a team in the Stanley Cup Finals in Game 7? Is that going to make the... Does that make a...
His team or the Bruins or either, you mean?
Bruins.
Real quick, for people who did not hear the quote,
yeah, go ahead.
Berube said that he wants to see more physicality, saying that some players might have held back in Game 6 because of the possibility of suspension. Now, seems to me that he's saying they held back... because of suspension-worthy hits, and now it's on.
And meanwhile, the Shen hit was inches away from being suspendable.
Yep.
And that's as a hockey analyst, not as a Bruins. That is a close hit to being a... If Nordstrom stays down, if a couple inch different way, milliseconds, I don't know what he was thinking there. He's a good player, and that's part of the problem. I know you guys talked about this. If they end up getting all jacked up and going down that road, it doesn't help.
No, them. It kills them.
Because however, unless they take out another Bruin player.
Right. Well, but
this is old school hockey, Fred. This is this is a guy figuring out a way to get through. I mean, he did a good job doing it with the officials after game four.
But isn't this counterintuitive to that? Is that you're instead of saying
I think it was a little bit of a shot at the league for suspending his guys. That was one. Subtle little, hey, you know, they're afraid of another suspension.
Who doesn't agree with those suspensions?
Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter right now. Don't think logically. This is the Stanley Cup. You are seeing grown men do ridiculous things for this because this is their life's work. And I'm not exaggerating. These guys, when you talk to them, I mean, I'd give anything to be in this. Anything. Who wouldn't a hockey player? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is grown men that absolutely. I mean, Craig Berube, awesome guy. He is. Take out all this other stuff. I've known Craig. This is his life's. I mean, he's in this place right now. He can literally taste it. He can see it. If he could be on the ice, he would go do it again. But, you know, this is so what is it? Does it work against him? Yes, if they're out of control. Is this part of the mind game of a 7-game, 2-week series? Fred, absolutely.
Yeah, Fred. But my question is, like, if you're a professional hockey player and you're in a game seven, does he expect the Bruins to get like nervous?
No, what he's trying to do is give his team confidence. Okay. He's not worried about the Bruins. Okay. He's trying to, he's giving the league a little bit of shot there. And then he's sending a message to his team. Fellas, run it. Let's go do it. This is our deal.
Change your game. Hit
don't change. Right. We were out last night. We're talking to some hockey people and we were all talking about how, I mean, we know that these contrasting styles are stark, right? Okay, but Craig Berube has brought back, and his staff, and he's got a tough staff. Steve Ott was a tough player as well. They've brought back 20 year ago hockey where it was real simplified hockey. Get the puck in, hammer away, get back, hammer away. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of what you would call extra X's and O's here, and so that's just his DNA. So that's what he's doing. He's just telling his team, do that. Do that, do that, do that. Score first. I agree. I heard you say that, Wallach. Score first. Do that. We're going to win.
If, okay. if they do that, I don't think they can't win, right? Because, I mean, if they're going to play,
well, what I mean,
give suspension worthy hits, like it just seems like a bad plan.
He's not. Listen, when it's all said and done, this is part of the. We have so much media attention. This is. I'm telling you, don't read so much. He just wants his team to play their style. He doesn't want them taking penalties.
All right. Okay. You mentioned it. How much does who scores first matter? It has.
I agree with what you guys. But it's the last three games, I believe, that the first goal wins. Last three of it.
Yeah.
I agree with everything you guys were saying on the drive-in. It's a lot better for the Bees, or a lot better for the Blues to score first. And they'll shut it down, babe. They're going to shut it down. They're going to, if they score first. But now, again, that still could work for the Bruins' favor, but it's more important for them. But it's funny, if the Bruins give up the first goal, you want it to be a good goal against. You don't want it to be one of those, oh, no. And I'm not saying any one player. I'm just saying in general, a bad goal where you're just like, oh, no. Is this that one game where it's the oh, no? So I think that's where – I still think the Bruins have got great resiliency, great determination, but I do think it's more important for the Blues to score
first. If Grizzly can physically play, do you think that they're going to put him in?
I vacillated on this. I think so.
I don't touch that lineup.
Neither do I.
I don't touch it.
He was so good, though, when he was healthy.
I know, but he's been out too long. If he was out a day or two, that's one thing.
If it wasn't a week, a game makes seven.
All the difference in a world at a time like this. Come on.
He skated. We talked about this, and he skated yesterday.
But it's highly.
No, it wasn't. Like, I was down with Zone Beetle, and we talked about needing to see him at skate. And I'm with
still
you
a non-contact jersey, right?
Yeah. So chances of him playing are very, very slim.
Well, he had another protocol test or whatever. It's concussion protocol test. You know, we'll find out. I'm going to be 9:10 right now. I'll be heading there after my 30, 40 minutes with you guys. I'll head to the Garden and we'll find out.
All right, Mike, you're on with Billy Jaffe.
Yeah, hey, Billy, how are you?
Hi, Mike.
I don't understand why everyone's so shocked about Craig Berube. This guy is a meathead goon from the 80s with the Philadelphia Flyers' Broad Street Bully mentality. This team lacks skill and talent. The only way they can win and proceed forward throughout the playoffs is play intimidation goon hockey. And I guarantee he's dead serious to his word. They are going to try and take out a top six forward on the Boston Bruins out of the game, okay? And if the referees allow them to do this, then so be it. It's on them. Because whatever happens after that, I hope it's a freaking bloodbath. I don't know why everyone's so shocked and surprised about this. This guy has no skill. He's got no coaching ability. He really doesn't. He's just a goon. That's what he was his whole career.
Well, he definitely was a tough guy in his career. That was his era, and that was his role, and he was damn good at it. He could play still, too, but you know what? I mean, that was a different era. I don't know. I'm not sure what Mike's referring to about people being surprised. I think it's pretty clear I think that's what's made this series, if you really think about it, fun because of the – I mean, this is two widely contradictory styles that we're seeing. And I think we talked two and a half weeks ago about it. Who can get to their style quicker and more was going to win this series.
It's just funny because the Bruins have had success in a couple games in the games that they've scored a lot of goals in, you know, delaying the ability of St. Louis to get the pucks into the corners with their forwards. They've been the forwards have been taking away lanes and things like that.
I also think Surratt made a great point yesterday when we had him on the show. He said that if you look at that first line, who sometimes has disappeared, I mean, they disappear and all of a sudden they're great, and then they disappear and they're great. But he said the trend is that first line gets better as the series goes on. So near the end of a series is when they play their best hockey.
Well, that's absolutely, and they had a nice game the other night. I liked the first period where they put pucks into areas where they cycled. And this is no different than what every series, when they finally decided to take that half second less, like don't hold on to the puck that extra second or so.
Yeah,
well, that's what
put it into an area.
Trying to say is that they've had the forwards have the ability to slow things down, give the defense that extra second to get to clear the puck not to clear the puck, but to get the puck out of the corner.
Transport it.
Why some games is that working and not in others? Because St. Louis always seems to be doing the same thing.
They are. Why is it working? Because I do think that sometimes the Bruins take that extra second to do something with the puck.
Okay.
And therefore, look, the third and fourth lines, have you noticed them ever relatively speaking, I'm not being exact here. Let's not be dramatic, but have they really made many mistakes with the puck at their own blue line or the offensive blue line?
No, they've been pretty good, yeah.
They haven't. They haven't. They haven't screwed around with it. And why do you think that they're effective? Because they understand their game. They don't have as much skill as the top two lines. And sometimes when the top guys, the top guys want the puck on their stick. They're so confident and they're so freaking good that they want it on their stick. They don't want to give it up, but they understand. At least we hope. We saw last game. They did it against Toronto finally. Remember? Yeah. Finally at the end of the series. They actually dumped it in. They cycled. Game two against Toronto, too. After an awful game one, and it's literally 2 months ago, they got in on the forecheck because they dumped it in. So it isn't their first choice, but I hope that they understand there will be a time and a place for it. And when they do that, just like game six in this series, it's effective.
All right, Billy Jaffe's in studio, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Win at Bruins style. Bruins style. It's playoff time, and now St. Louis plays the Bruins. And just like with Toronto, we will leave this team in ruins. We'll bring the Stanley back to Boston, because we are the Bruins. Winning games is what we're doing. We've got Tuukka Rask. This guy knows how to stop the puck, and he moves very fast. Don't mess with Marchand, because that guy knows how to kick your ass. Don't mess with Chara, Patrice Bergeron. Don't poke the bear. Do not poke the bear. Beat St. Louis. Let's beat St. Louis for the cup.
Hey!
He won the cup.
Hey!
Beat St. Louis. Let's beat St. Louis for the cup.
Hey!
We want the cup.
Hey!
And this is how we're gonna get the Stanley Cup.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
A rally around Angie. The shot scores. Josh Curran puts the Bruins up two.
That's what you have here tonight, boy. That's what you earned here tonight.
Krejci to Kyle. And the Leafs are mulch again.
One game. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. Not this game.
Dishes across Johansson. Score! Overtime winner for the Boston Bruins. The winning goal for Charlie Coyle.
Not tonight. Tonight, we skate. Tonight, we stay with it.
Backus, he scores! David Backus, answer the shot, save and score! And the Boston Bruins have gotten to the Eastern Conference Final for the first time since 2013.
We stay with them, and we shut them down, because we can. We are the greatest hockey team in the world.
This is a black and gold freight train.
You were born to be hockey players.
The Boston Bruins are headed to the Stanley Cup Final for the third time this decade.
You were meant to be here tonight. Sick and tired of hearing about a great hockey team the Soviets have. Screw them.
And the Boston Bruins have forced a Game 7 on Wednesday that'll take place at TD Garden to decide the Stanley Cup.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Five to Sports Hub. We are
Toucher and Rich.
Yep, in Billy Jaffe's studio. I'm answering a phone call. Mike, go ahead. Mike.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hi. Yeah, Mike from North Andover. Listen, I've never called in before. I just want to shed some light on the travesty that's going on at the MIAA. Both the Super 8 baseball, North Andover and Walpole. Marquee pitchers, both going to Northeastern. Tremendous ball players. There'd be about 5,000 people at that stadium tonight at 7:30, but the MIAA will not change the time. Both athletic directors want to change the time to 1 and 4 or to a different stadium. And, by the way, the Walpole athletic director just left the phone with me a few minutes ago. He's not going to his team's game.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
How did that not make the headlines, John?
Well, that's my mistake.
What are we doing here?
I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what. My son's Williamsport practice was canceled. I'll tell you that.
You should have told us to have the breaking news sounder.
The North Andover kid starting today, drafted by the Red Sox. I should have had that in there, too.
North Andover kid throws very, very hard, I'm told. There's a kid at North Andover, I think it's a freshman, who throws in the low 90s.
Oh. Hmm. All right. I should have had that in the headlines.
What, that doesn't impress you?
It does impress me.
14-year-old kid, 15-year-old kid?
Not many 14-year-olds can throw 90, except for Jaffe when he was a kid.
I just think that people can relate.
I was a man-child.
I'm not surprised.
Tom, go ahead. Tom.
Okay. Tom. Hey, quick question for you.
Yeah.
Outside of Tuukka Rask, who has been the best player on the Bruins this year? Or in this postseason? Because, I mean, it's like...
There's been moments of a lot of...
There's guys like you think it's
Charlie McAvoy.
McAvoy.
Yeah, and Marchand, Coyle. You know, even though it's been up and down, he's this is how good he is. This is how freaking good he is. He's still leading the league. You know, he's up there in points. Mm-hmm. And at times it hasn't been what we... Because we know how special... He's the best winger in the game. He's the best left winger right now. I've done a whole breakdown. We talked about it before. His ice time between even strength and shorthanded and PK and all that. He is. I mean, Ovechkin is great. We know it. We love it. Alexander Ovechkin for what he is. And he's not as dimensional or multidimensional as Marchand. So he's been up there. I mean, you could make a case. There were times through this series. This is a bad answer, Rich, but Marcus Johansson for a stretch was their best forward.
Yeah.
And then Charlie Coyle. How about Charlie Coyle the first? Coyle. Go back to, two rounds or to the first two rounds. This is the why this team is where it is, because I give you that uncertain or lame answer that I could name. You say, who's their best player besides Tuukka? I could think of five guys over the course of the playoffs that have helped bring them, legitimately bring them to this point. Mm-hmm. That's how good and deep they are.
If the Bruins hold Ryan O'Reilly off the board tonight, is Tuukka Rask the Conn Smythe winner, win or lose?
Yes. Yes.
You think he's going to win even if the Blues win tonight? O'Reilly's the only guy that contender.
Yeah. I think so. I do. I think so. I think that there's a... There, when you talk to people that don't see Tuukka like we do every game, and I was talking to a couple of people in the room yesterday, and they're like, it's just amazing. I'm telling you, his body language, his body control, his puck movement, puck touches, and then movement, and his ability to control rebounds, his lack of, I mean, there's no slip slide, you know, there's no sliding outside his post. It's been spectacular. This is not just a great Bruins goaltender run. This is one of the great playoff performances in recent history by a goaltender.
All right, let's go to Sam. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up?
Sam from Acton Rash. Shout out Hudson Parks and Rec. One of the things that I noticed, once we lost Grizzly, I realized on the boards how difficult it's been for us to actually just get the puck out of our zone. I think Grizzly did a good job of that. But a person that I haven't heard a lot of people talking about is Heinen. He hasn't put up the most numbers, but I've been noticing over the last couple of games he's been really scrapping it up. It seems like when some of our players are starting to kind of shy away from things. So I just wanted to hear what you guys thought about him.
Heinen's the type of guy that, you know, I've been a fan of. I support. I know people. There's some people that don't like him as much because he's not what, you know, I use the term. He's not that guy, that sexy player that jumps out a lot. But I'll tell you what, he does a lot of little things that I think are imperative. His if you're into the analytics side of things, he's pretty good in that regard. He supports the play well. He's got a great shot. I wish he used it more. He's got a great shot. His release, his snapshot, is fantastic.
I heard you talking about that he has an ability to go to a different side than most players with his shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's good in that regard. But he's just, you know, his personality off the ice is, I'm using my hand, it's flat. Meaning it's great kid.
You couldn't come up with a word?
Flat.
You had to use
flat.
Your hand?
Well, that's because, you know, I'm not a radio expert.
you know, so, day-to-day talking.
but that's also sometimes how his game is on the ice, how his personality is. But he does engage. He helps that line out. Remember earlier in the year, fellas? Of course you do. When all the injuries were happening all over the place. Remember the chance that he had to ride shotgun with 37 and 63?
Yep.
He put up big numbers.
Yeah.
And he struggled this year for a while to put up numbers. Well, what's reality? Close to 50 points, or is he a 35-point guy? I think the reality is this with Heinen. His best matchup or his best spot is that on the third line when it's all said and done. I do. Because of certain matchups, but he can influence the game from that area. He's going to, again, I agree with the caller. He's been good, but he's the type of guy, I know there's some people have talked to me too, that they feel they don't see enough from him. I don't know, you know, not every player is going to jump out every single game. You didn't think, I'm not coming at you, but you said the other day when I talked to you on Monday, you didn't think Krejci had a good game. Great. You said in game six. You told me that. You said,
no, I didn't think it was great.
I thought he was very good. I thought he was very good. That's the beauty. It's, we see, you know, people see,
I mean,
things
he had
differently.
Space. And
I thought he had jump, man. I thought he had jump, and I thought really good. That was okay. Really good.
All right. Well, you're wrong. There's no question about that.
If they...
You have the advantage of watching the game sober.
Thank you. Yes. If they happen to lose tonight,
oh.
What does this mean for the team? Do you think that this is going to be a situation where this was their shot with the kind of crew that they have? I know Krug's probably not going to be here next year. Chara is going to be another year older. Is this kind of a...
Last call, is what you're saying. Is this last call?
I don't mean to be overly dramatic by saying last
call. Okay.
But is it going to be exponentially tougher next year?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because especially just repeating in general is hard. Mm-hmm. To even get to the chance to repeat is brutally hard. And absolutely, your guys... I mean, Patrice Bergeron, if he didn't get injured this year, and I know that's part of being a pro athlete... Mm-hmm. He's a finalist for the MVP in the league. He had that kind of year. How many more does he have left? I don't rhetorically speak. I don't know, but you're right. Krejci, phenomenal year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had two number one centers going again when Bergeron was healthy. Two number one centers going for a good party this year that any team would take. Is that going to happen again? I don't know.
And plus, I mean, the way it laid out for you in the playoffs probably would never happen again.
Well, probably. Probably. Yeah, I mean, you know, in theory, you'd think Tampa would. But that again, that seems like so distant. And you're saying we just understand how intense, how brutally, wonderfully intense the playoffs in the NHL are.
Well, enjoy yourself tonight. If they win, Billy Jaffe said he's going to go crazy.
Oh, yeah.
He did not want to come in tomorrow.
No.
He wanted to make sure that he was coming.
I said I would be happy to call. I'm still happy to call.
He didn't
want to
come in today either because he was out till 2 in the morning.
Really?
Yeah, I did go out.
Gallivant.
Well, all your friends are in town, right?
Nice. Got a couple of friends. Well, you know, it's last night before. And it was one of those, well, you know, all right. And then all of a sudden, one of our buddies locally here, Bavo's just like, let's go. And so we ended up going to get a cigar.
You, Tappen, Roenick, you all hit the town together.
No, last night, those guys are probably all exhausted. But some CBC guys, some, you know, Hockey Night guys that we caught up with. And a few, yeah, I got one of my best buddies in town, too.
I'm being told Billy really didn't want to come in tonight.
Really?
No, what I said to Dan about? I was pretending like he knew, you know, Obi. Like, I said, well, what about the whole mess of traffic that was around you? Because the whole team
thing.
Like, he
was going to be taking the train. He's like, what about that derailment?
I'm I heard the traffic was just brutal.
It was the worst.
I heard. I understand, but, you know, the confidence in making sure that it was going to be cleaned up today.
You got me there.
Good try. All right, let's stand up. Come on, Rich, stand up.
Stand up.
Oh, we're going to see who's taller. Oh. This is the
right,
important
so
thing.
Rich says he's 6 feet tall.
Nah, Rich. Oh, it's close. It may be Rich by a hair, but that's
that would
it.
That would make sense.
By a hair.
All right.
6.5 inches. That would make sense.
Welcome to fifth grade.
Absolutely.
I would do something, but we got
20. Don't give me the Charlie horse, Billy. Anything but that.
Billy can't wait to get out of here. All right. There will be headlines, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher and Rich on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what did we not get into today?
Maybe even bigger than the Bruins winning the Stanley Cup. We look back on Friday and say, what was the biggest, most amazing thing that happened this week? It will have to be what we found out yesterday. And that is... the decision has been made for the next season of Hard Knocks. And it is a radio content dream for the Toucher and Rich Show come true. It will be starring none other than this man.
Jim Washburn was an ex-college coach. He'll get on his motorcycle and drive from coast to coast. And if he sees anybody that looks like a big explosive pass rusher, he'll pull over and work him out.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They did it. No one thought they were going to do it. Everyone thought they were going to wait until next year when they actually moved.
That never made sense to me. That logic never made sense to me.
Well, because I guess they wanted it to, the glitz of the background of Vegas would have been a big deal. And the NFL would have wanted to promote a new franchise in a new city instead of, why would you put a spotlight on a team that's abandoning the city that loves them?
Because it's even better.
It's great for content, but if you're the NFL, why would you want that?
I mean, the buildup, I think that just showing a team in the last season, I think that that's good content.
Think about how many great things and great elements there are having to do with Hard Knocks Oakland Raiders. Not only John Gruden, but you've got, of course, Mark Davis. I mean, just to follow Mark Davis around, and apparently his conversion van, which has a VHS player in the back of it. Also,
and his candy.
And his candy.
And his struggle getting the
Cheetos. Don't forget the Cheetos, one in white.
His struggle getting the gumball out of the machine.
Oh, yeah. How about his weekly trips to the PF Chang's? Hopefully they'll follow him there.
Getting his hand stuck in a vending machine.
Mike Mayock being on television. How about Antonio Brown? Richie Incognito throwing him into the fire with Vontaze Perfect.
Oh, boy.
How about the damn stadium they play in, which leaks sewage every third day?
Oh, just the grossest stadium in all of the NFL. On top of that, just like eighth on the list, but still, oh, my God, Tom Cable.
Tom Cable.
How deep does this roster go? This honestly has potential to be, and I'm not speaking in any kind of exaggeration, the best season of television of anything ever made.
This has the elements, Fred, you will admit, to be better than the Rex Ryan season.
Oh, nobody knew the Rex Ryan season was going to be as good as it was. Yeah. That was a surprise.
No, that's the best one so far.
I couldn't invent a better Hard Knocks than this.
The Jets one was interesting. It was interesting. This one is going to be a comedic tour de force.
Imagine if they also, on top of all of that, tried to get Marshawn Lynch out of retirement to play. Then you've got Marshawn Lynch.
Just him hanging out. He lives there.
I don't want Marshawn Lynch. I don't want too many characters.
Works for Game of Thrones, Fred.
But he's a great character.
No.
Are you saying there's enough of him? Okay, I understand that. Marshawn Lynch, enough. Okay.
I've seen Marshawn Lynch like do stuff, and he's like clever and funny. I don't need that.
I've been watching Why Bananas for 17 years.
I need unintentional comedy.
I need Gruden. I need, you know what? In order. I need Mark Davis. Yep. I need him to be the majority of the pie of who you're going to put the camera on.
I agree.
And then I need John Gruden.
I agree.
And then I think I got to go Vontaze Perfect on this. I got to see what kind of a maniac. Well, and if you team him and Incognito together,
Vontaze Perfect is very dirty, but I don't know his personality. So, but I don't know. I got to plead ignorance on that. But
Derek Carr, and how much like him and Gruden hate each other.
Yeah,
I mean, they can't stand each other. You can tell it from the stuff they've said on the sidelines.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they fight.
Yeah, this will be, and it's I think August 5th is the debut day for this, and just the moment. You know what?
Good,
the
just whole, in time for me taking 2 weeks. Oh,
well, I was about to say, how great is this? Like HBO says, you know what? Damn it, Game of Thrones is done. Everyone's going to cancel HBO, and someone goes, not so fast. I've got a solution.
No, I haven't been excited about one of these really ever. I mean, I watched The Jet when it was great, but I didn't really care about it. This is must watch. I mean, when you're on demand, this is the number one.
Oh, the HBO boardroom, they're like, I have a solution for all those people canceling, and they open up the door and in walks... It's Mark Davis with a giant lollipop. Hey, guys.
Like my sucker?
Heard you got a camera that's going to be on me the whole time.
Yeah, it's Game of Adults.
And the thing is, too, is that you heard like Gruden and a couple other guys say they did not want to be on Hard Knocks, so they're begrudgingly going to be on Hard Knocks, which makes it even funnier.
Gruden's not going to be able to resist the camera.
No, there's no way.
Oh, no, he's going to play up for the cameras. Oh, he can't resist it. He loves it. I mean, he loves it. Yeah, that's going to be unbelievable. Yeah. And I hope they do focus on Mark Davis because, again, when we, you know, said this little satire with Mark Davis, that is supposed to be true. Like, everything that we say about him is he's that dumb. Again, this is a guy that went to San Antonio when they were thinking about moving. And they, because the city of San Antonio paid for everything.
It's like, wow, this is a cool helicopter.
Yeah, they took him on a helicopter ride. And, like, there was, like, they had, because they had the, they had the itemized bill for, like, dinners. Like, so it was great. He's really dumb.
I can't wait. Start tomorrow, please.
Yeah.
Well, Chris Mannix was talking about, I saw him tweet this out. So there's a piece that came out where Rich Paul, who is the agent for Anthony Davis, was speaking. And the quote from Rich Paul is, well, the Celtics can trade for him, but it'll be for 1 year. In the event that he decides to walk away and you gave away assets, don't blame Rich Paul. So there you go.
He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week, Rich Paul, about how now he rules the NBA.
I've also heard...
That's what you want.
No, seriously, I mean, that's what it's come to.
If you're a league, that's exactly what you want, is the attention on an effing agent.
Well, you control Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I mean, that's...
Well, or LeBron James controls you.
Either or.
I don't even know if he's got that power anymore. I think the Lakers are not going to tolerate his crap. I think it's more
the machinery of his business.
I know, but it's not even LeBron James now. It's not even that. I mean, you get rid of LeBron now, you think the Lakers are irrelevant at this moment. You get rid of LeBron, oh, man.
But he...
Scorched earth.
Even when LeBron's out of the game, his company is still going to be...
Sure.
Partially in control of the NBA.
Could be. Well, five people are now under arrest. Five, including the suspected gunman in the shooting of David Ortiz. Four of the people were arrested yesterday about 100 miles northwest of Santo Domingo, where Ortiz was shot in the back outside of that bar on Sunday night. He's currently recovering in an intensive care unit over at Mass Gen. Have you seen the video of them storming this complex where they went and arrested these guys?
Yeah.
It's like something out of a movie. It's a bunch of these dudes with these rifles going in and pulling these dudes out and handcuffing them and throwing them in the back of the car. Yeah, they somehow got 100 miles away. There was a report that came out yesterday. I don't know who tweeted it out, but it was retweeted by a bunch of reputable people that said that one of the guys had been arrested by the NYPD. And I was like, huh?
I saw that too.
But yeah. That's obviously a screw-up, right? Because that's the only person I saw report anything like that. So the fifth person in custody, the guy Eddie Vladimir Feliz Garcia, he was the one who was captured shortly after the shooting. He was the one who drove the gunman to the bar. So the guy who got his ass kicked wasn't the gunman. It was the guy who dropped him off. So that makes it even worse. So, okay, how does that guy not get away, but the gunman does?
Yeah, well, the guy with the motorcycle got caught.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be the gunman because you screwed up that hit.
Yeah.
So
if the public doesn't get you for trying to kill David Ortiz, the guy who hired you will.
And plus, it will be interesting if that guy's indeed a huge drug kingpin. When the headlines are off and this is not in our consciousness anymore, exactly what happens to those guys?
Well, apparently, according to ESPN, they said a source with knowledge of the situation said that David Ortiz has taken a few steps yesterday and talked to some loved ones. So that's nice. He's resting comfortably right now at Mass Gen. His wife ended up making a statement yesterday and said, on behalf of me and my family, I want to thank John, Linda, Henry, Tom Werner, Sam Kennedy, and the Boston Red Sox for all they did for David and our family, and as well as the staff at Mass General. They said, lastly, I want to thank everyone for the outpouring of support and love that we've received during this incredibly difficult time. We ask for privacy as David works towards recovery.
Yeah, apparently one of her best friends is very good friends with one of my wife's best friends
and
has come into town to support the family. That's just me connecting myself to a story.
That is 7 degrees of David Ortiz?
I only counted three.
That's 3 degrees.
It's 3 degrees. You to your wife, so that's one.
Wife's your best friend.
To your friend. Your friend and to her husband.
No.
No, you said there was no husband.
Friend to Tiffany Ortiz?
Yes.
To David Ortiz. Okay, it's 4 degrees. Okay.
But you're doing me to my wife.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not you. Too. You have to do you to your wife. Because that's 1 degree.
I would argue that my wife and I are a
to you to your wife, your wife to her friend to...
I mean, I'm friends with the woman, too.
Well, there you have it, then. It's only 3 degrees.
Okay.
Thank you, John, for the support. I was fighting diligently for
you. I know. I'm here for you, bud.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has got to end.
I'm tired too.
I'm going
Does
to go
seem
home.
Like ridiculously bright in here for
right. 10 minutes. So we
have
can
you,
all go home.
Have
and
you stopped
nap.
Washing your hands yet?
No, I've washed my hands and sanitized them about 500 times. I'm going to become one of those people that like they're bleeding out of their hands. All right, we will be back Zolak and Bertrand. They are at the Boston Sports Grill. So we will talk to them in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And over at Boston Sports Grill, is that what we're saying? Is Zolak, Bertrand, and Hardy. Hello.
Hello. What's going on, gentlemen?
That's pretty good construction noise going on over there.
Oh, it's just it's literally just getting started. This is now the fourth game we've done down here, and each game they decide, well, hockey game tonight. Guess we better build some stages. What time should we start? 9? No. Let's go just a little bit closer to 10. Let's go like 9:55.
They can't leave you out there. You can't have that for 4 hours.
This is, Fred, this has been game one, game two, game five. Same thing. Every game.
Oh, my God, dude. That's like ear piercing.
Are they dragging things across the concrete, or is that somebody like with a drill? I can't tell.
That is an impact driver, I believe. I don't know. They're just, you know.
Are you outside?
Oh, yeah. Oh, out God. Here on the sidewalk.
They got to put you inside. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, that's ear piercing. I mean, it's above annoying. And
close the window. Can they not close that window?
No, they're outside.
Out on the deck.
Oh, jeez. This is the fourth time.
Can someone use common sense and put you inside?
Well, we went inside once. We didn't like it, so we're back outside.
Oh, well,
the people want to see Zoe.
All right.
Well, I don't know. You act like this is my decision. You act like I have anything to do with this other than be here, you know, for the start of the show.
So okay. But listen, it's not. It ain't my business. Look, you know what I'm saying?
It's quiet right now.
Yeah. You get a couple seconds there, and then it's off to the races.
The drill is one thing. It's when they start scraping those girders along the asphalt, you know, to try and, like, move it into position and then prop up the stage. Once again, why build this last night? You know, why build it at 6 this morning? Let's really get these trucks unloaded starting around 9:30 in the morning. And we'll build, because that game isn't until later today. Why would you do it ahead of time?
That's right. So you are out there and...
oh, my God. I got to turn it off, man.
All right.
They got to fix it. They got to do something. I don't know what you do. Do you move?
No, you go inside.
Well, I mean, that's what you got to do.
Until the band shows up.
Oh, yeah. Josh, our engineer, brought up a good point. There's a live band.
Yeah, all that's this been leads performing. To a band yeah, that happens at the end of Felger-Mez.
Yeah, Felger-Mez.
I'd rather hear the band than hear scraping across the concrete or whatever that is.
Fair enough.
The band.
Yeah.
And what kind of band is it? Are we talking Guster or something cool like that?
Yeah, it's a cover band.
Oh, okay.
It is Guster.
It's a Guster cover band.
Guster has fans that have been around for like 20 years. There's like, what do you want out of us? We got a damn guy who plays the bongos.
Can I just tell you this, Fred? I'm getting notified by a bunch of our listeners that Mark Jamelli is trending in Boston.
Ugh.
Like, the name Mark Jamelli is indeed trending. Along with this morning, Game 7 Chaos was the hashtag we had for what was going on. But Mark Jamelli is trending.
Good.
Oh, I see it right there.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, have you ever trended in Boston?
No.
Okay, just want to check.
Never. Ah, Nick, I'm better than you. Hey, why don't you come over and take a nap in my place? You live far away because you got no money. I'm rubbing in your face. I'm out here in the North End when you got a schlub from whatever ghetto you live in far away. All right. You guys enjoy yourselves. Enjoy the working man behind you. Support him.
I'm a nice man.
And everyone, tonight, 7:30, pregame starts 8 o'clock.
Let's go Bruins.
A little after 8 o'clock, puck drop.
You want me to end it with a live Bruins style?
We got just enough time. All right.
Might as well. Everyone enjoy the game tonight. That'll do it for us. Bye.
Win at Bruin Style. Bruin Style. It's playoff time, and now St. Louis plays the Bruins. And just like with Toronto, we will leave this team in ruins. We'll bring the Stanley back to Boston, because we are the Bruins. Winning games is what we're doing. We've got Tuukka Rask. This guy knows how to stop the puck, and he moves very fast. Don't mess with Marchand, because that guy knows how to kick your ass. Don't mess with Chara, Patrice Bergeron. Don't poke the bear. Do not poke the bear. Beat St. Louis. Let's beat St. Louis for the cup.
Hey!
We want the cup.
Hey!
Beat St. Louis. Let's beat St. Louis for the cup.
Hey!
We want the cup.
Hey!
And this is how we're going to get the Stanley Cup.
Woo! Woo!
Win it Bruin style. Everybody now.
Hey!
David Krejci.
Win
it Bruin style.
Hey,
David Krejci. Win
Bruin style.
Win it Bruin style.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.